Internet, welcome to a new edition of the Stew Pod, the Yahoo Sports podcast. I am Mike Oz.
And I am Chris Swick.
Chris, what's up, man? Anybody hack into your email this week?
Well, I didn't have anyone vote Royals for me, so I'm not worried about an email hack, but I know someone who might be.
Oh, tease. Yes, my email was used to vote for the Royals 35 times this week. One of the topics we're going to talk about on the show. Chris, I'll let you explain what else we got coming up.
Well, we got to talk about the Cardinals-Astros hack. We got some questions about that regarding who knew and what should happen to the parties should they be found guilty. And then, Mike, you're gonna tell this lovely story about your email account. And I just have a general question about slumps and breakouts and when we should start to buy them. So that's kind of what we have lined up. And on top of that, Mike, I guess you can introduce what we might have coming up next.
Yeah, so we are have the pleasure of another guest from Major League Baseball this week. We have Jock Peterson joining us. He's one of the part of the big rookie class that's going on this year that is just increasing. It seems like by the day. We had a bunch of rookie call-ups last week, and Jock Peterson, of course, has been one of the most successful rookies so far this year, so we're happy to get on the phone with him. So here is that interview. Meet me in the trail, it's going down. Meet me in the mall, it's going down. Meet me in the club, it's going down. Stew Pod with Mike Oz and Chris Swick, and very happy today to have Jock Peterson of the LA Dodgers joining us. And he is in a pretty crazy place today, which actually is not a baseball stadium, but he's at E3, the big video game conference. And Jock, I know you've been there for a little bit today. Can you describe the scene for us?
It's out of control in a cool way. I mean, I don't know. It's a gamer's dream to come here. I mean, there's everything you could want. You can try out the new games. Black Ops 3 I got to play, which is it's pretty sick. The graphics are unreal, and it's legit. It's nothing like the old ones, so I'm just lucky to be here.
Hey, Jack, it's Chris. I just wanted to know what your history with video games are. I mean, have you been playing since you were a kid, or is this something relatively new for you?
My parents didn't let me have a video game console until we were in high school. So in high school, I kind of started up, and then once I got to pro ball, our off season is we have a lot of free time. So I honestly had to take. I think it was the first Black Ops then. But my parents told me I need to stop playing because I wasn't working out or getting ready for the season. So I was putting in too many hours gaming. But I figured out a way to do both, and now I can just after games. It's fun to just relax with my roommates and play some play online.
Do you play like Call of Duty type games with other baseball players? Do you play those kind of games with fans, like sort of the online stuff? Do you do either of those things?
Yeah, mainly with guys on the team or baseball players. It depends. Throughout the minors, I'd have a roommate, and so we'd play online together. But now, I guess we sort of still play online together, but in different houses. But every night we're playing, and then on the road we'll meet up in someone's hotel room and we'll set up the PS4 and get after it.
Jack, what's your history been with baseball video games? I mean, do you play those, or is it more just this is a job for me? I don't have time to do this in my off time.
Yeah, more so like that. I mean, I don't ever play MLB The Show or MVP. I don't even know what they're called anymore.
But you're in it now. You don't play as yourself?
Yeah, I haven't even seen myself in it. So I think that'd be a little weird, but I stick to action games.
You've had, switching gears here, you've had a really great season so far. What has been your moment that everything kind of like sunk in for you that like, wow, I'm in the big leagues and I'm achieving at a high level?
I don't know. I mean, when I get opportunities like this to at Black Ops 3, I get a you know, like when I get an opportunity that they want me to, I guess, try out their game, you know, that's pretty special. And I get to come to E3 and check it out, and I kind of have a inside access pass, so I don't have to wait in all the long lines, because, I mean, you should see the people here. They're waiting hours just to play the new Black Ops. So, I mean, I guess it's pretty cool, some of the stuff that comes with it off the field. But, I mean, the priority is definitely on the field, but these are cool experiences, and I'm glad that I get to experience them.
Hey, Jack, I know you were up a little bit last year in the majors, and you kind of got a taste then. You know, this year, a lot of other top prospects have been called up. It seems kind of crazy. I mean, every week it seems like another top 10 or 15 guys getting called up. I'm wondering if you feel kind of a camaraderie with a lot of those younger players. It seems like this whole group is kind of coming up at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great players that are coming into the game. I mean, the Joey Gallos, the Lindors, the Buxtons. So, yeah, I think we're all in the same state, young at our age, the Chris Bryants, where we have something in common that, I mean, we all were pretty successful in the minors, but it was a whole new level, and we, you know, just, I guess that's a little common area right there, so.
Jock, which of the young guys have impressed you, either, not necessarily, you know, playing against them, but, I mean, even in, like, you saw in highlights or you've read about, like, which players this year of the young guys has impressed you?
I mean, Chris Ryan's a special player. We haven't played the Cubs yet, but we played him in Iowa last year, and he did some crazy things. Heard a lot about Joey Gallo, and this was, I think, the first time playing against him, and he's got a great swing, and he's going to have a great career.
Jack, I wanted to ask about your approach at the plate. You know, you take a lot of walks, and it seems like that's kind of rare among a player at your age. I mean, a lot of people talk about, you know, an advanced plate discipline and how that's not really seen in younger players. You know, has that always been a big part of your game, and why has that kind of been important to you as you were coming up?
I think anytime you can get on base, you can help the team win, and that's what it's about, is helping the team win. So if you don't get a pitch to hit, you get on and try to score a run. So I think that's just playing to win the game.
Jock, do you feel like, is there less of a stigma these days about strikeouts? Do you think maybe amongst players your age? It used to be that, you know, strikeout was looked at as really bad, and now it seems like there's a little more acceptance. Is that something that resonates with you too?
I mean, I don't think anyone goes up there trying to strike out.
No, but I guess I mean like in an out is an out kind of way, you know, like if you're striking out, but you're also, you know, getting on base a lot and hitting home runs and walking when you're walking. I mean, versus a strikeout versus a flyout, I guess.
The game dictates their situations. If there's a guy on third with less than two outs, a strikeout's not acceptable. You got to put the ball in play and help your team out. But, I mean, if no one's on, then, I mean, fly out, ground out, strike out, an out's an out. So I think the game dictates certain situations.
I wanted to ask you a little bit, and this is probably a little bit outside your realm, but when the whole thing came down this week with the Astros and the Cardinals, what was the reaction like amongst, you know, just players and when that news hit?
I'm not sure. I don't know. No comment. I didn't really know what's going on, and I don't really watch the news or any of that.
All right, fair enough. I want to take it back just to video games a little bit, and I think we can end there. In terms of baseball players that you've played Call of Duty with, who would you say are the best or toughest to play against?
Oof. Well, Scott Van Slyke is probably the best. He logs in the most hours, too, though. let's see. Tim Fedorovich, he's with the Padres. He's not very good. He's going to get mad at that.
Shots fired.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them are in the minor leagues. Garrett Gould, Chris O'Brien's good. catcher with the Orioles. Now he got traded. He's we'd always play Call of Duty in the off season. That's kind of the way that you kind of stay in touch a little bit in the off season is you kind of play online and you have your headphones on. So I'm excited about the new Black Ops coming out that have something to do to keep in touch and play a sweet game that I just played today. And I mean, the graphics are unreal. So I'm looking forward to it.
Jack, I had one more quick one for you. Are you doing, are you playing a lot of multiplayer? Are you playing zombies or both? Or what's your split there?
I've never really been that big on zombies. I'm more of an online player. Kill Confirmed is probably my favorite.
Okay.
But lately, out here, on the, we've been playing the co-op, or the two-player. Me and my roommate have been getting after that because, it's better.
Hey, Jack, we appreciate you taking some time to talk to us. Hope you enjoy the rest of your time at E3 and everything goes well with the rest of the season. Thanks for your time.
Right on. Thanks for having me. Meet me in the trail. It's going down. Meet me in the mall.
It's going down. Meet me in the club. It's going down. We are back on the Stew Pod, the Yahoo Sports Baseball Podcast brought to you by Big League Stew. I am Mike Oz with my man Chris Swick. Big thanks to Jock Peterson of the Dodgers for joining us to talk about that wide-ranging list of topics. We've got to talk some more about the big news of the week, though, and that is the hack that was allegedly perpetrated on the Houston Astros by the St. Louis Cardinals. We're still waiting to get some more information on it, but it's obviously been the big talking point of the week. We don't hear about this kind of stuff too much in sports in general, certainly not in baseball. And we're waiting for, you know, the investigation, the FBI is involved. There's a whole lot of details we still have to find out. But the big question, as it is right now, is who in the Cardinals front office knew about this? How much did they know? And I think that is going to determine what kind of punishments we see. Chris, we saw this week that the top of the Cardinals front office came out and said they didn't know anything about this. Are you buying it?
Not really. I kind of feel like this probably went up fairly high, but I also don't think it was as sinister as maybe it's being portrayed. This is all speculation on my part, but I could see this being, the type of situation where some low-level person is like, hey, I might, let's see if these passwords work, and then suddenly they get in, and they're kind of sharing it around, maybe having a laugh about it in the Cardinals front office, and then at some point in there, someone decides, hey, we should leak this to Deadspin, or we should put this on the internet, and that's where it kind of gets picked up, and suddenly it turns more sinister. I mean, that's what I kind of think might be the case here. I don't know that there were any really evil...
That's your hypothesis.
Yeah, I don't think that there were, evil intentions. I could see how that would, I guess, be useful to them, but I think it just started as maybe an innocent thing, and then somebody made a bad decision to make it public.
I can see that. I think that's a pretty good narrative if we're just trying to figure out what it is. I also don't buy that there's some, sinister thing where they're trying to get a bunch of information about the Astros and how they're functioning. I think more than anything it is sort of the, kind of inter-office, not, I wouldn't say prank, but, kind of stuff you do to mess with your coworkers or your old coworkers or that kind of thing. I can see it being, though, someone who's been around a while, because it can't be necessarily somebody who's just been there a year. I mean, it's probably not an intern or a new employee, because why would they really know or care? So that makes me think that it has to be someone who, again, if all this is true, someone who's been around for a little while. And again, it could be someone who's maybe trying to make an impression, sort of be that guy who, oh man, did you hear about what so-and-so did? He got into the Astros, documents and look at this trade proposal. And so it seems like that sort of thing, like more of a, hey, look at me, look how funny I am, look what I pulled off, as opposed to some nefarious plot to, figure out the secrets of the Astros. But I think the other big question that's floating around there, and actually, Chris, I guess I'll let you talk about this one.
Well, I was gonna add to that, just that we really don't know all the details of this thing. I mean, what was leaked to Deadspin was mostly trade proposals, and you can look at that and say, how do the Cardinals really benefit from that information? I mean, I guess they get to know kind of player values, but for the most part, you wouldn't think that would be damaging. At the same time, though, you know, we don't know what other information was taken. Were players' health records, you know, accessible through all of this? I mean, that's a scenario where you start to look at that and you realize where a team can really benefit from this type of situation. So,
truth bombs, Chris.
Until we get more information, it's hard to know how seriously to take it. I mean, people are kind of laughing about this hack thing, but we don't really know what's going on.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, and it makes it harder to figure out, you know, how we should treat it moving forward and those kind of things. But one of the questions is punishment.
Right.
How do you feel that should be handled? I mean, obviously, there's two separate things here. There's an FBI investigation, which is much more serious, I think, than any of the baseball stuff. And so I guess not to think about that, but what should be the discipline you think, you know, ballpark speaking, on the punishment that should happen here?
Well, people are going to get fired, for sure, if any of this turns out to be true. And I think the most common thought thus far has been that draft picks will be taken away. But I saw a few people on Twitter speculating that the punishment would not involve the players' union at all. And since the players' union is so representative in the draft, that maybe that wouldn't be the ideal punishment. Yeah. So I don't really know. I mean, that's kind of the first thing I go to. There'll be probably a large fine as well. But yeah, I guess I just default to draft picks, and now that's been kind of tossed aside as maybe something that won't happen.
Yeah, see, I feel like you got to make a line between, you know, the kind of the baseball operations and the people who work in the front office, because I think in baseball, probably more than a lot of sports, there is sort of that line. And obviously the, you know, one for all for one kind of a thing applies to sports in general. But, you know, let's make sure that there is a distinction here, that this is not, from what we know, at least, and from what we've heard, and granted, things could come out that change our view, but it seems like this is not something that's affecting, you know, day-to-day play on the baseball field. So it seems weird to me to do anything that would punish them in that sense. Like, I saw someone say, you know, they should ban them from the playoffs or something, and it's like, okay, this is not college football. We don't need to do that. So I think anything that kind of crosses into actual baseball activity gets a little strange to me. You know, fines, I think I'm okay with, but again, it's not like you can, you know, in college, I guess maybe it's a little easier to you know, ding people on things like money and budget, and baseball, it doesn't really matter. So I don't know. I mean, I think that all that stuff is a lot sexier, but I think ultimately what we're going to see is, you know, jobs getting taken away, fines. I mean, maybe something where, you know, there's new securities put in place with their systems. But I don't know. It's a really tough thing. I think that will be a lot more interesting to see than like the federal side of it, where, you know, somebody could very well go to jail.
Right.
I think in baseball side, it's not so cut and dry. Like, we don't actually know how you're going to punish something like this.
No, and it's more difficult now that Rob Manfred's involved, because we have no track record with him, you know, doling out discipline. I mean, in the past, even though this is kind of an unprecedented situation, we at least could draw from Bud Selig's old decisions on, you know, previous things, including the whole Biogenesis scandal, and you get a sense for what kind of disciplinarian he is and all that. We have no idea with Manfred. This is kind of the first big hurdle that he's going to have to cross here.
Oh, but there is another. There is something else controversial going on.
Oh,
right,
that's
now.
Right.
Do you want me just to jump into it?
Well, I mean, there was a second hack this week, let's be honest.
Almost more important than no, not at all. So everybody knows about the All-Star voting, obviously. That's been getting a lot of chatter the last couple weeks. So I wrote something this week about Omar Infante and how he had taken the lead at second base in the American League. And I said that, you know, Royals fans could effectively make the worst hitter in baseball, which he is, according to OPS, a starter in the All-Star game. And that night, I got a couple emails, to my, let's be clear here, to my public email address that's at the bottom of my posts. And the first one was, thank you for voting for, you know, your 10 votes in the All-Star game. And I was like, huh? And then, you know, within a minute, it was like, thanks for your 25 votes. Thanks for your 35 votes. And immediately, I'm like, oh, that's pretty funny because somebody must have taken my email address and voted for a bunch of Royals players, I assumed, you know, as a way to sort of troll me. You know, we get a lot of crap sent to us. We get a lot of people complaining and a lot of spam and whatever. But I thought in terms of, you know, trying to tell me that you disagree with me or you think I'm an idiot, that's a pretty funny way to do it. I've actually had it done to me before when I worked at a newspaper, and I thought it was kind of funny. So at first I'm like, oh, okay, that's kind of humorous. That's a funny way to you know, throw something back in my face. And I tweeted about it, and so the next day somebody from MLB emails me and at, like, hey, what's going on with this? So I, you know, explained what happened, and they went and they found the votes, and they scrubbed them from the system.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's been some stuff out there this week about, you know, how much security there is on the All-Star voting, and I don't know about all of it, but I know there was something I read that said that someone in MLB is looking, you know, for votes that don't look to be authentic and getting rid of them. Something said about 20% of the votes, you know, that they find are fake, and they just, you know, get rid of them and never mix the public tallies. But I thought that was kind of interesting that kind of stuff happens. I mean, one, I thought it was interesting that somebody would just take my email address and vote 35 times for Royals players.
Yeah.
Which actually I did confirm later because I got a ticket offer from the Royals. Like, hey, thanks for voting for us for the All-Star game. Here's a code you can use to buy discount tickets. And I was like, oh, okay. So I guess whoever did use my email address voted for the Royals. I don't know, man. Just kind of a funny thing that happened.
It's a savage move, and I respect the hell out of it.
Yeah, I think it happened.
I love it.
I saw on Twitter that Jesse Spector from the Sporting News, something similar happened to him. So I don't know if someone was just going around and, you know, grabbing email addresses from baseball writers and using them to vote for the All-Star game. I don't know if Jesse had written something critical of the Royals or the All-Star voting, or if people are just going around getting any email address they can find and using it. I don't know, but I guess props to MLB for seeing it and following up. And you know, I kind of talked to them a little bit, and they said it wasn't necessarily because I'm, you know, a member of the media. They said they've done this for regular people too.
Wow, that's kind of amazing,
right? So, you know, I don't know. That's just a different level of the All-Star thing. Like, we all think that maybe they're just fine with letting all the chaos happen, but at least to some degree, they're enforcing something.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. So, with the All-Star game coming up, I feel like we should talk about some player performances here. That was my attempt at a segue from your story to this more serious topic. But I have a bit of a story, and I know nobody wants to hear about your fantasy team, and I promise this is not about my fantasy team, but it also is. About a week or two ago, or let's say a week ago, I started making a ton of moves in my fantasy leagues, which indicated to me that about mid-June was the point where I started to buy into performances. And I feel like I am a lot more patient than some other people in that regard, but I guess coming from my background and writing for Fangraphs and having that statistical background, I'm always thinking small sample size, wait it out, etc. I'm wondering at what point you start to feel that way. At what point you start to buy performances? Was it way before I did? Are you still skeptical, or is it about this time?
I would say it's probably once we kind of get to June. I'm not going to say June 1st because I still think that's a little bit, you know, you still can change some stuff. But by now, I'm pretty much like, okay, like this is the stuff we're seeing is legit. Like, I'm not, you know, even on a bigger level, like I'm convinced now that the Astros are a team we should care about, you know, and you know, the players who are having good seasons are you know, the players who are legitimately having good seasons right now. So I guess I would say maybe like first week of June, somewhere in that range. I do think fantasy is a completely different thing too. I'll be straight up with you. I'm a little patient in fantasy too. Like, I don't usually try to make a ton of moves, and sometimes it bites you. Like, I dropped Jason Kipnis pretty early this year, not because he was necessarily because he's just bad, but I also had like some roster issues. But you know, so I think doing it for fantasy purposes is sort of a different thing. And I know that's not what you're saying. I know you're just using that as an example, but I just know some people who are super aggressive with that, and you know, they'll give up on somebody after 2 weeks, and you know, that's how it is in a week-to-week thing. But I would say, I guess if I had to pick a day, probably like, I don't know, June 5th, June 10th, somewhere in there.
Yeah. I just feel like, you know, maybe it's a result of being on social media all the time, but people are so quick to jump on, you know, the Blue Jays if they're 7-10. And to me, that's just way too early to start panicking. And I feel like it's the same with players. I mean, so much can happen in those small samples that kind of screw you up. I remember a couple years ago, I think Paul Goldschmidt hit like under 200 in April, and then he turned on in May and hit over 300 like the rest of the year, and was just this huge monster. And I don't know. I see these people overreact, and sometimes I think, am I being too patient? But it sounds like maybe it's just being with the crazies on social media. Maybe that's it.
Everything is Twitter's fault, man.
Exactly.
Everything is Twitter's fault. Speaking of that, Chris, you want to do some important questions?
Let's do it.
All right. All right, Chris, important questions for this week. I know you wrote about this one. So a baseball fan got hit in the face with a hot dog and went to trial with the Royals for like 5 or 6 years, was ruled it was not the fault of the Royals mascot, which makes me wonder, Chris, would you rather get hit in the face with a hot dog or a foul ball?
So it's more embarrassing to get hit in the face with a hot dog. But I would rather I'd rather take that shame and get hit in the face with a hot dog, because a foul ball is going to hurt really bad. And I know in this hot dog story, the man involved suffered a detached retina, which sounds awful, and I don't want that. But I'd still rather get hit in the face with a hot dog.
I think I'm going to go with the foul ball just because it'll make me look tough.
That's true.
Yeah.
You'd get some props for that.
Actually, I would just catch them both. That's the correct answer.
Well, if you were diving in front of a small child, you'd be labeled a hero for the foul ball, for taking a foul ball to the dome.
All right, the new All-Star Game, special All-Star Game hats are out by New Era. They have the pillbox design influenced by the old Reds hats. A lot of people don't like them, judging by our Twitter response and just what I've seen on the internet. Which one do you like the most, Chris?
I'm also in the camp of not liking the majority of them, but I find that I like more of the simple ones. So, like, the Marlins is fine. It's just the logo and then kind of a black and white background. I like the Brewers, Giants, Padres. These are all boring choices. I mean, when it comes to wardrobe, I'm pretty boring, so...
I think that the problem with them is some of them you can't see the logos, so the ones where I can see the logos better I like... I don't like, for instance, the Rockies, because you can't really see it. The Diamondbacks. I like the Blue Jays, but I think I like the Blue Jays logo on just about anything. I like the Marlins, as you said. I like the Astros one. So you could check them out. They are on. We posted them on the Big Leagues 2 Twitter, and they are abound on your internet.
I hate the Tigers one. The D is so small you can barely see it. I hate about 90% of the ones with the gray backgrounds. So,
we talked about Silicon Valley a couple weeks ago on the show, and since they had their season finale, what did you think of this? What did you think of it, Chris?
I want them to win at some point. I feel like this whole season has been me worrying how it's all gonna just collapse.
I'll agree with you. They won in the finale last year, though, pretty much. So I guess that's good. You know what I've really started to like about that show? I feel like any character they throw at us is immediately really interesting, whether it's, you know, the investor guy or even the lawyer. Like, the lawyer came in, he was just great right away. And so it seems like all their characters pretty much are always really interesting, even if they're kind of a-holes or whatever. But I think that's probably been one of my favorite things. I like or I'm intrigued by pretty much every character on the show.
I feel like they set up a potentially interesting dynamic for next year. So, well, I don't. How much do we want to spoil?
Whatever. I don't care. We're deep in the podcast, man.
If you haven't watched it by now,
exactly.
Well, yeah. So, spoiler alert. But they're setting it up where, you know, Richard could be looking for work. You don't really know what's going to happen there. And also, Gavin Belson could be looking for work. So you could maybe see them actually working together, which would be super interesting to me, considering they were adversaries the whole season.
Or his homie's going to be in power over at Hooli, and Richard's going to go work for him again.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's true. I forgot about that plot line.
So you went to San Diego recently.
I did.
Last weekend, actually, and I went to San Diego for the winter meeting, so I feel like we can do some San Diego stuff real quick. But you went to Petco, right?
Yeah, I was there. Oh, let's see, Saturday, I think the Padres won 2-1. Really nice park. I mean I've been to some of the nicer ones, so Petco kind of ranks like middle of the pack for me. But it doesn't. I think it was beautiful. It doesn't really take away from the whole experience. And I would say, really diverse food selection. So I was really happy about that. It wasn't just hot dogs and pizza.
I like sand, you know. Sand's cool. I haven't been to a game there. I've walked around the stadium and checked it all out. I like sort of the location and, you know, how it's just kind of there in the middle of the downtown. And I thought that was pretty cool. What was the best thing you had to eat in San Diego?
The best thing I had to eat, I went to a Richard Blaze restaurant, Juniper and Ivy. I'm going to come off as, like, super
snobby.
Yes, snobby. A food snob. It was awesome. Everything I ate there was fantastic. We had, like, 7 different things. I was there with my wife. I didn't just go by myself. I should probably make that clear.
We ate pretty good when I went to San Diego, but there was this place called Barley Mash that I enjoyed very much, and, like, a kind of sports bar-y type, creative food type thing. So not, like, super high-end, but they had some really good, like, bar food and stuff there.
Barley Mash was really close to us. We actually did not go.
I told you to go, man.
I'm going to blame my wife for that. I'll say she turned it down. I can't remember if that's true or not.
It's all right. All righty, man. Well, I think we can wrap it up for this week. We'll be back with the Stew Pod next week with all more fun topics and hopefully less hacking. Hopefully
yes.
No one hacks the podcast. Don't hack the podcast, please.
Unless you're going to give us more views.
Okay. I guess that would be okay. Royals fans, if you want to vote us into the All-Star game,
yes.
we will accept that. The podcast All-Stars. All right, guys. Thank you for hanging out with us. We'll see you next week on the Stew Pod. Devil.